From NPR, it's the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. From the top. This week, from the Aspen Music Festival in Aspen, Colorado, our lineup of young musicians includes seven talented teenagers who are studying this summer at the Aspen Music School, including a 14-year-old pianist from Ukraine with an amazing story to tell, and an 18-year-old bassist from Massachusetts whose personality fits his instrument perfectly. From the Tops Homes New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Here's our host, renowned concert pianist Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you, everybody. Welcome to the show. We come to you today from a quaint little music camp in the sleepy mountain town of Aspen, Colorado. Seriously, this is an epicenter of great classical music performance and training during the summer. We want to extend a special thanks to the Aspen Music Festival and School for bringing From the Top to this very beautiful place, and to this particularly great locale for the performance of chamber music, Harris Concert Hall. Now, the school part of the Aspen Music Festival and School is unique. Unlike most summer music programs, the younger kids here, the kids we will be featuring today, are mixed in with the college-age pre-professional musicians. So it's safe to say the 8 to 18-year-old set here is pretty much the cream of the crop. As Joanne mentioned, we've got seven of them with us today on the show, two of them with really compelling stories of difficult childhoods in other countries. But we're going to start out with a fantastic teenager from the good old Midwest, from Winnetka, Illinois. Aspen has always been known for its superb violin program, and this 17-year-old proves the point. Please welcome Ryan Meehan. Ryan, welcome to the program. Very excited about this first piece. Tell everybody what you and I are going to start with.
We'll be playing the first movement of Brahms' First Sonata for Violin and Piano.
When you are ready, we will take it from the top.
Thank you.
17-year-old violinist Ryan Meehan from Winnetka, Illinois, playing the opening movement of Brahms' G major violin sonata. He's studying this summer here at the Aspen Music Festival and School. Beautiful, beautiful playing there, Ryan. So how do you like it here at Aspen?
Oh, Aspen is terrific. I mean, the view outside my room when I practice is just unbelievable.
Incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ryan, sometimes it's the little things about someone that paint the best picture of who they really are, like with you. Let's get to know some of the little things about you.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you.
Ryan can't stand a mess.
Is that true? Can't stand a mess?
Yes, I'm pretty obsessed with cleaning. Often, before I go to bed, I'll notice, like, my desk is disorganized or whatever, and then one thing leads to another, and I end up rearranging all the furniture in my room. It got pretty bad this summer when I did my laundry. I ended up spending 2 hours folding and rearranging my closet, and then I felt so good at the end, I took a picture of it to remember.
Getting to like you, getting to hold you like me.
Ryan is quite possibly the loudest person you'll ever meet.
I've heard this, and this has been going on your whole life. When was the first time you were cited for loudness?
It showed up on my third grade report card. I was being disruptive in class for my loud answers and stuff. So,
I like that, though. That's sort of, you know, in your face and, you know, right out there. And in third grade especially, it should be applauded.
Yeah.
Well, what's the worst loud thing you ever did?
Well, I was at a Chicago Symphony concert, and we were at intermission, and my friend, knowing my bad habits, thought it would be really fun to step on my toe. So she did that, and I let out a howl that basically made everyone in the entire auditorium stop and look at me, and it was pretty embarrassing.
Getting to know you, putting it my way, but nicely.
Ryan has a cooperative soul.
Right, cooperation instead of, you know, sort of aggression. I guess sports, for instance. Let's take your dad. He was pushing you a little bit to get out of this cooperative spirit.
Yeah, I was going to be his Olympian, and nothing really worked out. Soccer, I ended up sitting on the field pulling grass and
Ferdinand the Bull sort of defense.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. But what about violin competitions? I mean, do you sort of lay back in those kind of situations?
Yeah, I like music competitions because they're an opportunity to perform and get feedback. But I don't think that competitive spirit in music is what we really need. I think we just need to stick to making the music.
And besides, we already know you're louder than anybody else, so that's fine.
You are precisely my cup of tea.
Ryan eats a lot.
Ryan, you're real thin, I can see, but you're saying you're constantly eating?
Yeah, I probably have about 7 meals a day, and my parents think I have a disease because my dad is convinced I have a hole in my leg that I'm letting all the food out. And my grandma helps me along with my mission by constantly cooking for me in the kitchen. So
my big fat Greek wedding or something. It sounds
yes,
like
it's my big fat Lebanese family. We're loud and we're obnoxious and we eat a lot.
A lot of eating. Grandma's really the culprit?
Yes.
Well, Ryan, getting to know the little things is not half as fun as knowing the big thing about you, the great musical quality that you had and that wonderful, generous spirit and wonderful phrasing that you have in that Brahms opening the program so beautifully.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. And
thanks for being with us. Thank you.
Ryan Meehan, 17 years old from Winnetka, Illinois, a student this summer here at the Aspen Music School.
And you can get to know any of today's performers a little better by going to our website. It's fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jackkentcookfoundation.org, and that's Cook with an E. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Our second performer of the day is a sensational 14-year-old pianist from Odessa, Ukraine. She's here at Aspen for the first time. Please welcome Dasha Bukartseva. Dasha, there's a wonderful story behind your coming to Aspen this summer, but before we hear that story, we want to do something much more important. We're going to hear you play, all right? You're going to play two short pieces by written by two of your fellow Ukrainian countrymen. Please tell everybody what you're
going
to play.
Yes, the first will be Preludia Autumn Leaves of Oleg Polevoy. He is Odessitz, and he is living in Odessa now. And the second, it's Toccata of Vitaly Filipenko. He is maybe also alive, and he is living in Kyiv now.
Great, new music. It's all yours.
Thank you.
14-year-old pianist Dasha Bukartseva from Odessa, Ukraine, here at the Aspen Music Festival and School this summer. She played two pieces by Ukrainian composers Oleg Volovoy's Autumn Leaves and Vitaly Filipenko's Toccata. I think that toccata sort of raises the bar for all toccatas for all time. Sure showed that party hack Prokofiev what to do with a toccata. Seriously, these are totally new to me, and I'm sure totally new to some of our listeners. How did you come to, well, you know, obviously from Ukraine, so did somebody find these pieces for you? Did Polovoy give you this music? Did Filipenko reach you?
Polovoy wrote a book, mm-hmm. and he presented me this book, and Filipenko, it's easy to find in Odessa.
Oh, well, okay. Easy to find, but not easy to play. I mean, that really is, I mean, it looks fiendishly difficult. Does the theme come from anywhere? Did he make up the theme for the toccata?
You can hear melody and music of the population of Western Ukraine, of Gutsuli. And it was written for music instruments, for trombita, cimbali, and sopilka.
So that sort of hammered dulcimer, sort of butterfly,
yes.
cimbalom sort of thing.
Yes.
So it's actually based on real.
Yes, and good players of cimbali can make 32 beats in 1 second.
They can't make as much noise as you did, though. That's really fantastic. Now, Dasha, back in Ukraine, it's just you and your mom, right?
Yes.
Together? How is life with mom? Are you guys close?
Yes, we are very close. We are like best friends, like sisters. We speak a lot. I like to speak with her. She can answer on all questions.
It's wonderful. Yes, it's wonderful to have such a warm relationship with your mother, particularly in light of the fact that you and your mom have been through some very, very tough times.
Yes.
I mean, tell everybody where you were living for a while.
When I came to Odessa, I was 8 years old. My mom took me from village when I lived for 6 years. And we lived in a rental apartment. And we had to move, and we had no place to live. And we lived in a music school.
So you've got your piano, and what? You're sleeping under the piano?
Yes, it was a very tiny room without anything. So we lived there probably almost half a year.
My goodness. So from that kind of difficulty in Odessa now to Aspen, to help tell the story of how this all happened and turned around in a wonderful, wonderful way, here's our 15-year-old roving reporter, Emily Mayer. Emily? Emily, you spoke to two people who've become very important in Dasha's young life.
That's right, Lynn and Dan Levinson. They're really nice people who live here. They met me outside the Aspen Landmark, the Paradise Bakery, and we sat on the Cooper Street Mall. Chris, the Paradise has the best zucchini nut muffins in the world.
Oh, I don't need to know.
You gotta try them. Anyhow, I started by asking Dan how they met Dasha in the first place.
Well, we met Dasha on as a result of a trip that we took in September, where we were on a boat with others circumnavigating the Black Sea. And one of the stops that we made was in the city of Odessa, which is the primary seaport for the country of Ukraine. And it was there that when we were traveling around the city and looking at all the sights, that the people on the tour told us about a concert that was going to take place in the afternoon. And after she played, the audience absolutely was stunned. And that's how we first met Dasha.
So after hearing this girl's amazing playing, how did this turn into bringing her here to the United States to play at Aspen?
Well, after the performance, Lynn and I went up to meet this gal. And also, by the way, we wanted to buy one of her DVDs to take home with us. And I just was basically talking to her, you know, the usual la-di-da-di-da, oh, by the way, you should come to the United States maybe someday, and this sort of thing. And it was just general talk. And all of a sudden, this little kid looked me in the eye, slapped me on the front of the thigh, and said, "What do you think they'd like to hear? And also, when do you want to go?" And I think it was at that second that something changed.
That's amazing. So I bet many terrorists must have offered to bring Dasha to the United States, but you guys actually did it.
Dasha did tell us that almost every time she played, a few tourists would say to her, "Would you like to come to the United States?" But nobody ever did anything.
There was something about her demeanor. There was something there that was very resolute. And And I knew intuitively, and so did Lynn, that nobody was going to pick up this journey and really make it happen, because the intricacies that are involved are just staggering.
Yeah. So what were some of the difficulties to bringing Dasha over to the United States?
We had this DVD, which we told you about, that we had bought for $10. And this DVD, I have to tell you, was very scratchy, very difficult to hear. And the first thing was to ask Joni Gordon, who's the dean of the music school, to come and see and hear this DVD. And without her courage, you know, and basically taking a chance on this kid, you know, this never would have happened. But Dean Gordon was absolutely fabulous and took that chance, got her admitted, and not only that, got Dasha a full scholarship for the entire summer.
So you were able to bring her back to the United States?
Well, what I did is I went over. We achieved the, we did get the visas. As a matter of fact, I told Dasha, we went through a sort of a method that we would use, because I knew that the Russian-speaking Americans in the embassy would only be speaking Russian to Dasha. And I said to Dasha, whatever you do, just keep speaking English. I don't care what he says. Just keep speaking English, which she did. And eventually, I could hear two stamps go down, and they got the visas. I think one of the most memorable things was that Dasha came out with both hands in the air with her mom, with these pieces of paper, and she said, yes. And then immediately, in the middle of the U.S. Embassy in Kiev, broke out into singing the Star Spangled Banner at the top of her lungs. I have to tell you, that was a scene.
What a great story. Great job, too, Emily.
Thanks, really, Chris. Good. So what do you think about Aspen, Dasha?
At first, Aspen is wonderful, and I like almost everything of Aspen. It's food. Also, I like mornings in Aspen. I like to watch through the window when I'm practicing and look at mountains.
Very nice views. Now, Dasha, after the summer, you'll return to Odessa.
Yes.
But the good news doesn't stop. You've got a nice new place to live. Tell
yes.
us about that.
Yes, it's unbelievable. It's I never thought that it could be. It can be, and I'm very thankful to Dan and Lynn Levinson that they gave such opportunity. And
they gave you this house.
Yes.
Fantastic! Wow, that's incredible. And a nice new piano too. Yes.
Yes.
Well, Dasha, I know that it is your positive spirit, your passion, your energy, your dedication that inspires people to want to help you, but also just inspires people being around you and listening to you, and we look forward to many years of hearing more of the same. And thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Dasha Bukartseva, 14-year-old pianist from Odessa, Ukraine, on what will, I'm sure, be the first of many visits to this country to study piano. And thank you, Emily. Go get me one of those muffins, will you? We will admit to some hometown pride in our next young performer. He's a Boston area boy. Please welcome an excellent 18-year-old bassist from Brookline, Massachusetts, Nicholas Schwartz. Aspen Mountain, Chelsea, Roaring Fork, the Muddy Chuck River. It's all sort of the same, isn't it, wouldn't you say?
Yeah,
no.
I would wish so.
Not really, I guess. I don't imagine being in Aspen, you can get terribly homesick about Boston. It's so beautiful here. While I head back to the piano, Nicholas, tell everybody what you and I are going to play.
We will be playing the first movement of the Von Hall Double Bass Concerto in C major.
All right. Thank you. 18-year-old bassist Nicholas Schwartz from Brookline, Massachusetts, playing the first movement of the Von Hall double bass concerto. Actually, Von Hall was one of the less slouchy Mozart contemporaries. Really, really great piece, actually, and beautifully performed. But I understand it wasn't exactly love at first sight with you in classical music, Nicholas. What were your first impressions of classical music?
At first, when I was growing up, my parents would, we're from the Boston area, so we would go to Tanglewood often, and those were probably some of the worst times. I really despised classical music.
Just didn't make it for you.
Definitely not.
Not even the candelabras on the lawn, nothing.
Oh,
nothing.
God, the worst.
And so what was the thing that brought you to the bass?
I was actually playing saxophone in a quote-unquote jazz ensemble, which we really played just old rock tunes. And but the teacher would play electric bass, and it intrigued me, and I was taking lessons with him at the time on saxophone, because he also was a saxophone player. And he started to teach me a little bit of electric bass, and then after a while, I actually was starting to get into jazz, mm-hmm. and I just thought it would be really cool to play the upright bass.
And you came to a pretty neat little crossroads. I mean, Berklee School of Music has a really high-level jazz program that you were accepted to one summer, and that at the same time you were accepted to the Boston University Tanglewood Institute for classical. So what happened then?
Well, it's funny because I when I first started, I didn't like classical music still. And as I learned the etudes and the scales and everything to sort of help my jazz chops, I would it sort of just grew on me until I started playing pieces, and then I was like, wait a minute, like, this is pretty interesting.
There's something to this. It's worth playing 300 years later, I guess. You know, Nick, you seem so mellow. And I've noticed that most bassists are like that. It's sort of a zen thing. It's true. We actually decided to look into this phenomenon, stereotype, if you will. We went to a rehearsal of the Aspen Festival Orchestra and asked the bass section if a certain personality is attracted to the instrument.
Yeah, laid back.
Well, we all seem to be pretty laid back. I don't know.
Well, we're really far away from everybody, so and everyone's kind of close together to one another, so there's a lot of goofing around that'll go, more so than other sections. Not that we're all goof-offs, even though we are.
I think playing the bass really chilled me out, yeah.
I mean, I'm much more relaxed than most people and pretty calm and chilled out all the time.
Yeah, freaks, mostly. Weird people.
Freaks? What do you think, laid back or freaks or weird?
I wouldn't like to say unfriendly.
Well, bassist, Zen master, I think it's been a great, great time with you. Thanks for being
Chris.
With us, Nicholas.
Thank you.
Bravo again. Nicholas Schwartz, 18-year-old bassist from Brookline, Massachusetts, spending his summer here at the Aspen Music Festival and School.
Welcome back to the radio showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country, From the Top. This week we're broadcasting from Harris Concert Hall at the Aspen Music Festival and School in Aspen, Colorado. Coming up, more performances by the extraordinary young people who come to Aspen every summer, including the opening movement of the Brahms Piano Trio No. 1, played by three amazing teenage girls. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Special thanks this week to the staff of the Aspen Music Festival and School, including music director David Zinman and president and CEO Alan Fletcher. Also thanks to Aspen Public Radio. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Our next teenage musician has come a long way to get to Aspen, all the way from Qingdao, China. And like Dasha, he has an amazing story to tell. Roving reporter Emily Mayer took 17-year-old oboist Sean Bo Dong down to the banks of Aspen's Roaring Fork River to have a quiet talk. By the way, Sean Bo is known as Kong to all of his friends here at Aspen.
It's so beautiful down here. And you love the natural beauty of California too, right?
Yes.
You go to boarding school at the Idlewild Arts Academy there.
That's right.
I heard you especially love it at night.
Yeah, because when I go out of my practice room, it's at night and it's really beautiful.
What do you love seeing out there at night?
I can see the round moon on the branches and the little stars and shining from the night sky. And, you know, I think when you at this kind of circumstance, your heart will be really peaceful. It's really nice.
When you're out there, do you ever think about home?
Yeah, you know, when I'm too busy practicing, I don't really have time to think about it. But when I'm out there, you know, when I finish my practice, when I look at the moon, I will remember when I was really young and all the childhood at my homeland, Qingdao. You know, it's really beautiful memories.
So, can you tell me about your father? He's the reason you play oboe, right?
Yeah, he was a principal oboist in Qingdao Symphony Orchestra, and he was my really great oboe teacher.
But your dad isn't playing with the orchestra anymore, right?
Yeah, when I was six and he went to Beijing for more money, he made less than $100 a month. That's horrible. My family was really poor at that time, and he think I have to support my son to university. So that's why he went to Beijing with not really any money.
And then you ended up going to study there with him. But you were living in some hard circumstances with your dad.
Yeah, that's true. When I first got there, my father couldn't afford a house. So one of his friends gave him a garage to live with a public bathroom in front of it. So it smelled pretty funny, and but yeah, I mean it's a place to live. I mean we had a table and a bed and everything we need in a house, and I think that's enough just for basic living.
Still must have been pretty difficult. But you're saying that your dad could be a tough teacher though too.
Yeah, one was younger and one was practicing the oboe, and he will sit there and just listen to me. And when I make some bad mistakes, and you know, he will just get mad sometimes. And sometimes when my attitude is not right, when I just feign lazy, and he will use some violence to teach me what is right. And I know that might sound really horrible for a lot of Americans, but you know, we have an old saying in China, and it's a great son is under a stick, which means, you know, a father always need to use some violence to teach his son what is right. And you know, actually, this is not really a special event to happen in China. So, you know, I think it's all right.
Given your background, compared to the relative affluence of the kids at Idlewild and here at Aspen, do you find yourself reacting differently to things?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes there is a big difference between me and a lot of my classmates. And, you know, they come from really wealthy families, and, you know, they are paying $50,000 a year for the tuition of Idlewild Arts. So, you know, when we come to the same cafeteria and, you know, when we sit in front of the same food, and they are complaining how bad the food is, and, they, you know, you can eat this kind of food. But I think, oh, that's pretty good. I mean, we have salad bar and we have fish and everything. And I think that's all we need.
Well, I really appreciate you being so honest and so open to talking about your childhood growing up and talking on national radio about all this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really proud of my father and I'm proud of my family. You know, I think he's a great man. He did so much good stuff for me. I mean, he taught me exactly what is the right thing to do as a human member in our society. So, you know, I really appreciate his effort to making me a good man. And now I'm working hard to prove that he's right.
Now please welcome Shonbo Dong. Shonbo, welcome. I understand this nickname Kong has to do with, how did you come to the name? I mean, your grandmother, I think, gave it to you, yes?
Oh, yeah, you know, at the moment I was born and my parents had no idea how to name me. And as you know, naming is quite a big deal for people in China. So they made a phone call to my great-grandmother in Shanghai, who is 94 years old right now. And, you know, she's a really wise old lady. And she told me, you know, we all hope this kids to be a really healthy young man. Mm-hmm. So let's name him Kong, which means health in Chinese.
So health,
yep,
has nothing to do with climbing the Empire State Building or anything like that.
No.
Kong. So tell everybody what we're going to play together.
Yeah, we are going to play Carl Nielsen Oboe Fantasy, Humoresque.
Thank you.
Shanbo Dong, 17-year-old oboist from Qingdao, China, studying this country at the Idlewild Arts Academy during the school year and here at the Aspen Music Festival and School this summer. He goes by Kong to his friends. Kong, I'm very proud to announce that you are a recipient of one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Awards. Congratulations.
Thank you. Well deserved.
So you've got some wonderful goals in life. In addition, or part, very much a part of your studying the oboe, I mean, you want to be a solo oboist.
Yeah.
But it's a problem, yes? The repertoire is not that big for the solo oboe.
Yeah, you know, one gets started with the oboe, and my dream was to become an oboe soloist. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, my cousin, who also is an oboe player, and, you know, he told me one time, you know, little cousin, it's impossible to become an oboe soloist because we don't have that much great concerto and sonatas as violin player and pianist they do. Mm-hmm. So, and one time I start to think, you know, since we don't have enough pieces, why don't we start to make some? Yeah. I mean, then why don't I be the person who make it be possible for all of us to become soloists?
That's right.
Yeah.
It's a great idea, and it's a very intimidating instrument to write for, so who better than a virtuoso to write the music for the oboe. Kong, we look forward to hearing your music, and thank you so much for being with us, and congratulations again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Shanbo Dong, 17 years old, from China, studying here at Aspen this summer.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at npr.org/podcasts. Each year, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation present 25 performers of exceptional musical ability, outstanding academic potential, and financial need with the $10,000 Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award. Learn more at fromthetop.org. Chris.
Our final performers of the day make up a trio put together for us here at Aspen. They are Caroline Golding, 14 years old, from Cleveland Heights, Ohio. She's our violinist. Caroline's been on our show several times, playing alongside banjo virtuoso Bela Fleck, for instance. Our cellist, a 17-year-old from Toronto, is Alina Lim. Alina, like Kong, is a winner also of one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Awards. That's wonderful news, too, for you, Alina. And our pianist is 15-year-old Si Jing Ye from New York City. Please welcome the Trillium Trio. So you girls all just met, and immediately you've had to cope with this monster piece, the Brahms Trio in B major. But I guess your teachers have helped you in every step of the way. Si Jing, I understand you followed your famous teacher, Veda Kaplinsky, all the way from the Juilliard School to Aspen. But you tell the story, because your teacher, Veda Kaplinsky, has been almost more like a doctor than a teacher.
Yes, she's a magic doctor. Last year, I was in China, and I couldn't play the piano for almost 6 months.
Why?
My right hand had really serious problems, mm-hmm. and so I just couldn't play. When she became my teacher, and she taught me how to relax the arms and the wrist, and, you know, practice really slowly, mm-hmm. so I can play the piano again.
So problem is solved.
Yes.
So no more 6 months off from the piano. That's the bad news, right?
Yes, really.
But
bad.
You get to practice all you like now, huh?
Yes, right.
Alina, as a cellist, you've lucked out with this trio's coach. Your coach is who, and what does he play?
Yes, our coach is William Grubb, and he also plays the cello. So I'm very fortunate to have him as my coach this year, because he can show me on my cello how a certain passage should sound, and he's really been helpful for all three of us.
Yeah, Caroline, you were saying that the blending of the sound is something that he talks
yes,
a lot about.
Yes, he helps us all kind of imagine to blend the sound together, and like the piano, the violin, and the cello, so mm-hmm. it's been good.
That's great. And now, speaking of violins, we have to talk about, because mm-hmm. This particular violin is very, very special.
Yes, this is the Haddock Del Gesù, and I've been very fortunate to have this along with my other one this summer, and I've been spoiled this summer, and I've gotten to use this, and actually it has to go back tonight, and I'm really sad, but it's okay.
Well, I mean, From the Top could probably buy this for you. I mean, how much does a violin like that go for?
Only $6 million. So, I mean, I'm sure, how about you give me all of the money from your gigs for 25 years?
And exactly.
I'll play for you whenever you would like.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Well, we're going to put it to good use right now. So, will you give the full official introduction to the movement you're going to play to take us out of the program?
Yes. This is the Brahms Piano Trio No. 1, Allegro con Brio, first movement.
I want to thank all of our great young performers today, and again, thank the Aspen Music Festival and School, and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, the Trillium Trio, you can take it from the top. Thank you.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Begley for Tom Begley Productions, with Tim Banker for From the Top. The music producer is Tom Venieri, and the tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Elizabeth DeVore, with lighting by Tori Sweetser. Our technical director is Barrett Willett, with Dan Hallis and John Serbies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. To download an application to appear on our program, visit fromthetop.org.